B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The best team in the NBA, start to finish. The Milwaukee Bucks got clubbed in the face in game one, lost the home court advantage they worked all year for. Tonight, they come to Boston and they wrestle it back away. The final score in game three, Milwaukee 123, Boston 116. Bucks lead the series 2-1.
Face off to the near side. The Jackets can't get it out in front, and the horn is going to sound. The Boston Bruins off the bench to congratulate Tuukka Rask. He made a spectacular save to cement the victory tonight. David Pastrnak with a pair, which included the game winner with less than 90 seconds left. And the Boston Bruins have taken a 3-2 lead.
Happy Monday. Welcome back to the week. The sun is out.
That's a positive.
It is. There is a sun in the sky.
I drove in. I didn't see it.
It's peeking out, man. Look at, pull up the shade there a little bit. A little bit.
Marty, you see how big that sun looks?
Is it overcast at the moment?
Marty, come look at the
sun. Had its moments this morning.
Hey, Jim, look outside at the sun.
It's come there. Through. It's
you know what,
I saw the sun peek through a couple of occasions.
You're loony
morning.
Right now.
Not true.
You've got so many. You have so many sports playoff games compacted maybe into 22 straight
it's
days.
Bright out there.
He's lost his kids.
No rain.
You've got kids.
No rain.
You've got games. You've lost your mind. We've had
no. There've been no games.
We've had so many days of rain.
I'm games with the kids. They've all been rained out.
We're conditioned now to think that
rain out.
Overcast is a
rain
nice,
out. Rain out.
Not yesterday. Had a 3:15 yesterday, and it was just like a steady drizzle the whole time.
Gross.
Ugh,
worse.
Gross. So gross. Gross. Those were the games over the weekend. Bruins win a big one. Celtics lose on Friday night at home at the Garden. Was it quiet at the Garden over the weekend for both games? It felt that way.
I thought the Bruins, and I watched the game from down in Florida, and I don't know if it's an NBC broadcast thing, which it's not, because the games are also broadcast in Columbus. And that Columbus building was rocking. Tom was at the game, our boy T-Bone, with his little Bruins hat, his little, you know, his 8-year-old hat. And he said it was loud there. And I think when you go to a game, you feel the electricity of the building a little bit, because you know, everybody's piling in and everybody's got the jerseys on. So I think you and I were there. I felt it was amped up and loud that night. And everybody said it was dead.
What night?
That Saturday we went.
I thought it was a dead-ass crowd that night. What are you talking about?
But I mean, I don't know. But
we talked about it last week.
You people in the lows, you sat on your asses the entire
game.
Remember
the nacho tower, the seafood platter, all that?
Yeah.
Dead-ass crowd, quiet there. What happened to you over the weekend?
I don't know. So I was excited.
Okay. Tonight we've got two games on the same night because the NBA is stupid.
Gotta say that. Stupid. I was so pissed yesterday not to have a game.
I think there's definitely a need for 2 days off in between games in the same city. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, what's the bigger game tonight? The obvious answer is the Celtics.
The obvious answer is the Celtics, but I completely disagree with that.
Why?
Because I got bitch slapped last week because I was all in on the Celtics after one game.
Yeah?
I'm like, oh, this series is over. They're a better team on paper. You got the better coach. And I got bitch slapped because what wins in the NBA are the best players. And then you see Giannis crank it up and him just turn it over to him for a couple straight games, and he just does whatever he wants to do, and he goes off, and that's what wins in the NBA. And you're one guy short of that.
Well, you don't have that? You don't have a star? You don't have Kyrie Irving?
You got one, but you got guys like Middleton knocking shots down. You got Bledsoe knocking people all around, being out physical
on
everybody.
You don't have Gordon Hayward? You don't have Al Horford, who played great in game
Gordon
one?
Hayward got a little
you don't have star power? You don't have talent?
Well,
I asked that. Wait. We talked about this at the start of the series. Which roster
wrong.
Has more talent?
I was wrong.
So you think the Bucks are more talented than the Celtics?
No,
now?
I think Giannis offsets everything.
So you feel it's a fait accompli. The reason why the Celtics aren't the bigger game tonight is because they're going to lose.
And the path of least resistance is there for the Bruins. They've taken control of the series. They can put this thing away, get rest, and we could talk Stanley Cup.
I get okay. At least you're explaining your perspective on this.
It's the Bruins.
Zoe's
the Bruins. Let's go.
Zoe's perspective on this is the Celtics.
I'm not in the hot hand.
The Celtics are cooked.
Celtics are cooked, man.
Therefore, their game doesn't matter.
Right. No, it doesn't matter because elimination starts everything. Talks about the offseason. Is Kyrie coming? Do you go after Anthony Davis? Do you press the reset button? Do you just build around the kids? That starts all the talk about the offseason for the NBA. And the Celtics face elimination tonight, and they could be in trouble.
Well, they're not facing it tonight.
Well,
but
I understand that.
They could be one step closer to it.
I think they're in trouble. They lose tonight. I think it's over.
It's over. If they lose tonight, they're not coming back.
I think if the Bruins win tonight, I think we're talking Stanley.
I would say, you know, even if the
Wait
Celtics.
A sec. Are you saying the Bruins can't lose both games at the Garden and come back and win in Milwaukee in order to win? The Celtics can't lose both games at the Garden?
If the Bruins lose tonight, I don't think they're cooked because we could see what happened in that third period the other night where you get six goals in a matter of 10 minutes. Like, that's what happens in hockey.
You know, first things first. There's 50 things today.
Wait, so you're saying if the Bruins lose tonight,
I'm saying the Celtics.
It's not over.
It's not over. No, but I still just.
Well, I agree with
Bruins
that.
Win tonight.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
Fucking cup, baby.
In fact, I don't.
Celtics lose tonight. Do we all agree it's over?
Yes.
Zoe.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does anybody think the Celtics can go down 3-1 tonight? And then have to go back to Milwaukee
tonight, no.
for game five
no.
and somehow win this series.
No, and have to win two games in Milwaukee along
Correct.
The way? No.
Correct.
No, they're not doing that.
And I think
two out of three with Milwaukee having home court.
No.
I don't know. Because both teams are playing tonight at 7. It just seems like the Bruins respond better when adversity hits them. Like, that goal gets in the other night, and I know they tied it up, but they came back. They countered. When the Celtics are down, they don't counter at the end of
the game. In fact, I read a stat.
It's not even two out of three. Excuse me. You got to win three straight, two of which are in Milwaukee. Does anybody think that?
No.
I read a stat the other day that was sort of mind-blowing because it's still very early in the series. We're only three games into this series with the Celtics and the Bucks. When a series is tied 1-1 in the NBA in the playoffs, the team that wins game three and takes a 2-1 series lead, Hardy.
I saw this, 75%?
73. Wins the series 73% of the time. And when a series is tied 2-2, the game that takes a game five wins 83% of the time. So right now, based on historical statistics, and again, what does that mean? I don't know. It's just sort of the way it's gone historically in the NBA. And the Celtics have actually been one of the teams that have bucked that trend. They did it in a series against the Cavs. They've gone down 2-1 before and come back to win a series not that long ago. But that is the way that it's gone. The team that takes the 2-1 series lead has gone. It's not easy to play from behind. And so, yeah, tonight's a must win. They lose. It's over.
It's more. Yeah, I totally agree.
No shot of them coming back in my mind if they go down.
Like, duh. It's more of a must. I understand. It's more of a must win tonight for the Celtics. Like, I still think the Bruins can win the series. Celtics can't. The Celtics can't. The Hardy's point. You can't go to Milwaukee and do what you have to do and win that many games in a row against this team. And I don't trust the NBA and I don't trust the referees. And these refs and what they tried to do the other night, ridiculous reffing. I know the NHL has its issues too. But, I mean, I think all these damn refs in this league wants these, all these series extended to 7 games each. Well, they want to take these NBA playoffs as deep as they can.
That's 73%, Beadle. And again, it's like, you know, you – trying to do math on a Monday, but
yeah, well, let's do it.
Okay. I think it just speaks to how important home court is in the NBA.
Yes.
Because if you are on the, you don't have home court to start the series, but you start a series 1-1. That means you stole one and you stole home court advantage back. If you can come home and win that game three, boom, that's it.
Boom.
You've got home court for
boom.
Series.
Scott Weymouth. Boom, boom.
If you allow that other team to come in and then wrestle home court back to them after winning game three, after splitting the first two at home, boom, Scott and Weymouth. It's all about home court. And the Celtics I don't think they're good as they are, as talented as their roster is. I don't think they're at the point now where they can overcome home court advantage, especially, you don't even have to go historically, just this season, how they were away from the Garden. Didn't matter against the Pacers. They were able to go in there and win games 3 and 4. But Milwaukee, that's a different story.
Want to know the game 6 historical data in the NHL?
I know. Well, how about the ones after they win game 5?
Want to know what the home team's record is in a game 6 in the NHL?
What is it?
Home team's record, 222 and 193. That is a 535 record.
Win percentage.
535 is the percentage. That is in regulation time and overtime. Games that go to overtime in a game 6. They actually have a losing record at home.
Yeah.
37.
Welcome to hockey.
And 47. 440 winning percentage.
And teams that take control of a series after winning game 5 when it's tied up 2-2 have a 78% chance to go on and win that series.
And that's when it's an elimination situation, when you have elimination on the line where if you don't win, you're done, like it is the case tonight for Columbus, 118 and 129 all time. The home team is actually not in great shape in these game 6 situations in the NHL, believe it or not.
Stupid kid.
However, that hasn't stopped Jordan Tortorella even a little bit. It's guaranteeing a game 7. Uh-huh. Guaranteeing it.
Because we'll be there.
Yep. Because.
Because.
Why?
Because I said so.
Because. Yeah. Because. 617-779-0985. The telephone number. Okay, we've got 2 games tonight. We're going to be bouncing back and forth. Bruins, Celtics. And mixing in things along the way today, including that wild Kentucky Derby thing over the weekend that I know Zoe wants to get to. But Marcus Smart could make his return for the Celtics tonight, and we want to get to that. We will do that with your phone calls coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I don't think there are 3 words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Exciting. You know, he's a big part of our team. Alleviates a lot of different pressures out there throughout the game. Makes my job a lot easier. So, you know, whenever you have the possibility of him returning, it's always a positive.
Marcus Smart, officially questionable for tonight.
Go show.
Looks like he's going to be out there. Looks like he's ready to go.
Would you play him?
Yes.
Based on how Bledsoe was pushing guys around?
Well, I'm going to be careful about why I'm going to play him, though.
I got another take. I got another Celtic take.
Why would you play him?
Why would I play him?
Yeah, why would you play him?
I would actually like to look at why I wouldn't play him based on how other guys respond when guys are out of the lineup.
Wait, what?
Does that make sense?
No.
Like, no sense.
None.
Okay. So you play him. Now all of a sudden it's going to take, somebody's got
to
sit.
Okay. We can get to that.
It disrupts the natural rhythm.
All right. I get it.
When Jaylen Brown was out. Or like,
why are you playing him? You want him in there though, right?
I want him in there for edge.
Oh, I'm with you.
I'm
not playing him for defense. I'm not playing him. Obviously, I'm not playing him for his shooting or his offense.
Late game threes.
I'm not putting him in there for any shooting late game threes.
That's what I want.
I'm putting him in there for one reason. There is only one reason that I'm bringing him back. I'm bringing him back for some sort of emotional boost for the team, for the other guys on the roster. Because, listen, we'll get to the refs. I know the refs were an issue on Friday night.
Yeah.
But outside of the refs, the Celtics look like a dead-ass team right now that just doesn't respond. And so they need some sort of jolt of something. And this is a team that has lacked sort of that emotional edge, as you called it, quite often. You know, we've criticized them for that from the very get-go this year. He gives them some of that.
I was so at the end of that game ready to hammer Jason Tatum. I'm ready to go on Twitter like, is he even freaking active tonight? And then, luckily, I looked up the stats. That had to be the quietest 16 or 18 points that I've seen that guy play in a while. Because he seemed like a non-factor in that game. I know he had the little steal and the breakaway and that. Jaylen Brown is the only guy that had that sort of intensity, that Marcus Smart, I'm going to the bucket, I'm grinding, I got the grit, I got that look in the eye. Jaylen Brown seems like he's got that edge a little bit. I appreciated that.
Okay, Jaylen, here's part of the problem.
Do you understand again, what I'm
saying? Yes, I'll tell you why.
My dad's because like, who's this guy, right, Jaylen Brown? I'm like,
your dad's right.
He's like, what? When the Tatum
Mr.
Guy,
Zolak, you're right.
Yeah, I said,
Tatum, you're seeing things.
Tatum's actually the more talented one that they really want to build around. I said, this guy will go to the bucket.
And here's what I would say next, and this is your point, Zol. So can I say your point
for
you?
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown can't lose minutes for Marcus Smart coming back right
That's
now.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
They can't afford that.
No, are you going to be upset to see Terry Rozier on the bench? I'm not the last
two
games.
No, not even a little bit.
That's different.
They need him to beat them. That's the simple answer. Why do you play him? Because they need him to beat this team.
You need more bodies and you need more depth.
But it's obvious. After watching the last two games,
it's
obvious.
You need some bangers. You need some guys that are going to bang, and it's not Ojale.
But here's the thing. I think there's this belief that Marcus Smart's going to come back, and he's going to help stop Chris Middleton from raining threes on you, and I think that's asking a little much.
But what Zoe said, maybe he'll be a little. Maybe he can bang Bledsoe on the other end. Like Bledsoe just killed guys the other night.
Disrupt Middleton a little bit.
You know what? If they're going to call the game the way they called the game Friday night,
then we got our guy. And we got our guy that's going to come in and rough you up a little bit. I don't care who he roughs up.
There's just no. Do you think the Bucks?
Part of the problem with Friday night is, listen, I know that Giannis had, what, 32 points in the game? Is Giannis having 32 points the problem with Friday?
You're lucky if he hit his foul shots.
Like, that's not to me. That to me is not the problem. It's the fact that the George Hills of the world have 20-plus points.
George Hill dunking on your ass right down the middle. No defense.
That's an issue.
George Hill driving the lane was the problem the other night, too. And then Middleton hit everything. And Bledsoe, hey, they had a good mix of guys the other night. They had good balance from their team. They really did.
Connaughton with 14 points in that game. Guy.
Yeah, you think Smart can shut down Connaughton? Yes.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Okay?
Paul Pierce's jersey.
The Hills and the Connaughtons of the world, okay? Stop their bench players. I'm not expecting him to come back and stop Chris Middleton. Like that. I just don't know if that's going to happen. And I don't expect it to happen. And I'm not putting that on Marcus Smart to happen and coming back. That's all I'm saying. Just have,
you know what else he'll do?
Have realistic expectations for him coming back.
He's not going to let Connaughton slip in on the weak side when the rebounds, on offensive rebounds, and let him get an offensive rebound over two Celtics. Like, that happened. Connaughton was outplaying guys because of his energy. Smart will give you that energy.
Don't you hate every time you hear the, Connaughton, local boy, Arlington, Notre Dame.
A lot of his family in the stands.
All his family's
there. Maybe that's why it was so quiet. It was all Connaughtons in the stands.
Yeah, it was a TD Garden full of Connaughton fans.
Do you think the Bucks have any issue playing the Celtics right now in terms of guys they don't want to face other than Kyrie? They don't want Kyrie to have the ball. Who else out there on the Celtics right now, forgetting Marcus Smart because they haven't played him yet, right? Is there anybody out there that's like, I hate going up against that guy?
No, because you know who else should lose some minutes in this in Marcus Smart coming back? Gordon Hayward. Where did he go?
So
he disappeared the last two games.
If for no other reason, put somebody out there on the court tonight that the Bucks don't want to be on the court. I'm not saying he's going to take over the game. I'm not saying he's going to necessarily shut any one guy down.
Right, what are you saying about him all the time?
He's a
thorn in other teams' side all the time.
People, they don't like playing against
him.
They're
just annoyed by
him. Pain in the ass.
Make him uneasy. Make him uneasy.
This tenacious D, Jack Black, that he plays regardless of the score or the situation. Like, what are you doing? Stop it. They don't like playing against him. That has to be helpful. I don't know if it's enough to put him over the top, Beetle, but put him in.
I just want to temper the expectations from him because I don't think he's 100%. I think Brad Stevens would probably really like to limit his minutes coming back. And I think that in this process, you've got to sort of ease him back in. And you can use him to be your guy that is now not sitting a row behind your bench, but is sitting on your bench in uniform, and that can make a difference.
Yeah.
Okay? Because he can still be your vocal leader, and he can still be a guy that gets guys going. Gets the people going. they can use him for that.
12 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, maybe.
If they could get 15 minutes out of him, I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
That could be an important 15 minutes that they get out of Marcus.
Maybe Rozier playing the only 12 minutes himself will be good, better for him, too.
The other thing is, too, that this is Marcus Smart, and Marcus Smart is going to be a guy who wants to be in there for as long as he physically can take it, or maybe more, because he's that type of player.
And you just feel better as a team having the guy. I mean, you're because used to having him all year. SOB. You know what he means to the team. Yeah, you remember
he's
when that, you remember when Edelman
fight and claw and beg Brad Stevens to stay in that game because that is who he is.
Remember when Edelman
junkyard dog.
Remember when Edelman had the foot injury and he gets the surgery and he come back at the end of the year and it's a little boost for the team, even though it didn't work out and the foot ends up breaking down. He wasn't right. Still having that guy there, the guy that you know that you trust, and they all like Marcus and they trust him and they need him. I think it's a boost to them. They're down right now.
You know they
you
are
need something.
They are capable of beating the Bucks without Marcus Smart. And it's just that, once again, they find themselves in this spot where they didn't play to their capabilities again, and they just didn't play as well as they should have played. We're constantly in this spot with this team. And the thing that I worry about with the Celtics is that they've been in this spot, and now I think they are facing the adversity. I'm sure we're going to hear from Maz today.
How they reacted.
That they are finally facing the adversity that he has so desperately been seeking for them. They're facing it right now. When they've been in this spot all year long, when they've had their worst loss of the year moments, they haven't bounced back.
No.
They just keep losing.
When they get punched in the
mouth, that's what they've done all year long.
Yeah.
They just keep losing after they have these bad losses. So that is what I fear most about this team. And all that happened when Marcus Smart was out there. So he may not make a lick of difference. How do I don't know. We'll see what happens tonight. Maybe the couple of days off ends up being a good thing for them. 617-779-0985. But we'll take it, because right now the Celtics look like they could use any sort of jolt, boost, anything emotionally, because they look dead. No real response from them on Friday night at home. And I thought it would be loud. Maybe it was the broadcast.
Dead-ass crowds.
Maybe if some of you were there, you could tell us, but it sounded quiet on TV.
They tried early, but when that game got in hand, they were done. When they cranked it up?
Yeah, what's
last minute and a half. When they cut it down to like 9, and all of a sudden, then Jason Tatum had that still. You're like, oh, they got a shot here. Yeah.
Tom is in Winthrop today. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, Tom.
God bless everybody.
What's up, bud?
Yeah. I agree with you on Marcus Smart, but I got to talk about Pastrnak. I called last week. I got to apologize. I mentioned Neil Levine, and now he's playing like a bat out of hell. You know?
One game, bad out of hell. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Hey, he got hit. What period was that? He got hit early in the game, and he kind of winced, and he's looking down at the hand. You're thinking, it is the damn hand. It is the damn hand.
That was early in the game.
It was early. It was first period.
Yeah, it was first period. And then he was fine after that. Tell you what, on that.
Why are we apologizing, though?
I don't know. Because you know why? Because Marchand's pissed.
Because you make an observation? That a guy isn't playing
Marchand's
well, you've got to apologize
Marchand's
now?
A little crispy, right?
What's the point of that?
A little crispy right
Guy's
now.
Guy's not playing well. You say he's not playing well, and then he plays well, and you got to apologize for stating the obvious?
That's what you wanted.
No apology necessary,
that's,
Tom.
That's the guy. That's
yeah, Marchand is getting a little snippy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't we get to him?
Brad, I like that. I
Brad
like that.
Marchand of the Big Bad Bruins. Big Bad Brad.
Yeah, here.
He's a little upset. He's a little upset on
the Big Bad Brad.
The big bad Brad. He went after Ty Anderson, I believe, on Saturday. He was a little upset with our guy.
But Ty Anderson, my
Ty Anderson of NBC Sports Boston, as Felger would say.
Kidding. Eat a pizza a day.
That's Ty Anderson, 98.5thesportshub.com. You'll hear from Brad Marchand and what he had to say after the game on Saturday night. You will hear that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bergeron leans in. The Bruins control the faceoff. Here's Clifton, far circle. Clifton left of the net. Clifton centers, fired. Bobrovsky going to save. Rebound. They score! Sergei Bobrovsky made an unreal stop on Brad Marchand, but Marchand stopped in front, got the puck, Bobrovsky down, and he rifled it in. Top shelf, 2-0 Bruins.
David Pastrnak had himself a night on Saturday night. Brad Marchand had himself a night. The whole first line rolling on Saturday night.
Hey, Pastrnak uses shampoo and soap. He just looks dirty. I don't care. The smellier, the better. They don't want to be around you. They don't want to defend you. They want to mix it up. God, that guy smells.
Based on the way they played, what would your thought be coming off that game Saturday night about the first line? Marchand. Pastrnak.
Swagger.
No, just about their game, how they played that night.
Better.
Oh, great Much night. Better. Guys Much had a great better. Night, right?
I said, Pasta's back.
Right?
Yeah.
Marchand played really well.
How about that?
Bergeron. Goal. Bergeron played really well in game four, I thought. And so, you know, he continued to play well. So you're looking at it going, oh, wow, those guys really, really played well in this game. Big part of the win.
Huge part of the win.
Let's ask him about it, right? Yeah. So Anderson, Ty Anderson, that is, 98.5thesportshub.com, goes in to ask Brad Marchand about that.
Overall, as a line, how did you feel tonight? It felt like this was probably one of your better games, if not your best at 5-on-5.
Yeah, you know, I think it was a great game.
I should explain.
Okay.
Pastrnak and Marchand are both there.
So they're up at the table. This is not like in the dressing room.
They're both there.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I think it was a great game. We were building our game through those periods, and you know, Marshy came big for us and had an unbelievable game. And how I said, we pick each other up, you know, and it's great to be part of this line. And they, you know, a lot of positive thinking every single shift.
I think it's funny how you say we had a great game tonight, but other games we had more opportunities than we did tonight. They just happened to go in tonight, so it's funny you dictate a good game from a bad game.
Marshy's a bit crispy tonight, so.
Oh, he's pissed. That's good. I like him pissed.
Do you know what the follow-up is there?
No.
So, Brad, since you guys took a step back tonight, explain why you played so poorly.
That's right. Well, if you were so good the other night, then.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Since you had so many chances the night prior, you were more content.
Well, yeah,
you
I
were
mean,
more content with your team's play the night prior because you had so many better chances.
Well, since you guys took a step back and you sucked tonight, in your words, why don't you tell us why?
That doesn't make any sense.
Why you weren't very good tonight?
That if you had the better chances, why didn't you convert on them? Then we were just gonna say you had a great.
Is that on the goalie? Is that on Bobrovsky? Just saying that
well,
the
quite
the
honestly,
goalie?
Bobrovsky sucked tonight. That's the answer.
Not necessarily.
We're doing the same thing. He's the one who changed.
Yeah, Jim's right.
He's not saying they're doing the same thing. He's saying that they're doing it worse than what they had done on previous nights.
That's funny how you dictate.
He's not saying they're doing the same thing. He said we're doing it worse. You dictate that we had a good night. You did have a good night.
Do you want to content Marchand
he doesn't even want the compliments now.
Do you want to content Marchand or do you want a guy that's a little pissed and playing a little edge?
Oh, no, I like this guy.
I like this one. This is why I feel so good about the Bruins right now.
Oh, I wish someone had asked the follow-up, though. Oh, well, okay. Why the step back tonight,
you know
Brad?
You know what it is? He looked at Anderson, and Anderson's there in his little vest and his little long-sleeve shirt and his hat on to the flat brim, and it's on a little sideways, and he hasn't showered either in about a week because he hasn't slept because he's going to games and he's writing all the time, and he's in on this show, on that, another one, this one, that one, this one, that one. And Marchand looked at him and go, "Who the hell are you, kid?"
No, I think he dresses up for games.
Does he?
I've seen him like dressed B-Rub. Up at the Garden before, yeah.
Remember I saw B-Rub in a suit? I almost lost.
Sweater sometimes I've seen him in.
Sweater.
Shut the front door.
Marshy's a bit crispy tonight. So.
A bit crispy. You smell it's the crispy. You smell the chicken coming from the tailpipe. You're shaking it a bacon. You know? Like, shake and bake. If you smell something crispy coming from your tailpipe. You ever watch Ricky Bobby?
Shake,
nights.
Shake, and bake.
Bake. Shake and bake.
I know.
Scott's in Weymouth. Go ahead. Boom.
Boom. What's up, guys? Hey, Bertrand, don't be so quick to dump me this time. Remember last time? It's okay. Yeah, I think you hit it by accident. All right, here we go. Let's roll through it in 40 seconds. You ready?
Okay.
Quick hello, as I do to my best friend. His name's Billy, my neighbor. He loves the show. What's up, Billy?
What the hell are we doing?
Yeah, you got 15, 16 seconds in today before I...
he's going to do this. He's going to do this. I went to Florida over the weekend, as you know. So, do you know how many people stop me?
What is this, the Baby Beat Nuts morning show?
Like, so shout-outs. You know what?
What are we doing here?
Yeah, what is this? You know what I like to do? I like to give out the shout-out.
What is this, the party line? Yeah. What are we doing here?
Hey, it's my neighbor, Billy.
That's a shame.
Billy. Hi, Billy. You know what?
I want to give a shout-out. He does every time. He complains about the amount of time he gets, yet he gets... like 2 minutes every time he calls.
He prefaces every time we put him on, like we dump him in 30 seconds.
He complains
seconds.
About his
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
I think it's that reverse psychology thing that he's using.
He wastes 45 seconds.
An enormous amount of time.
It. Yes.
And he wastes it with nonsense.
Yeah.
It's why Felger won't take his calls anymore.
Right. You know what I like to do?
We're getting close.
I like to give a shout out to Susan on JetBlue, flight attendant. Very nice.
Cut him off.
Very nice. Not the greatest flight schedule,
back
but
there,
the crew was phenomenal.
Cut him off.
Susan in New Hampshire loves our show, watches every day.
She's a JetBlue flight attendant?
JetBlue flight
love
attendant.
JetBlue. Husband, big fan of JetBlue.
Husband's a football coach for 25 years.
No kidding.
Loves it. Can't wait for football for us and loves us year-round.
Susan, thanks for listening.
Thanks, Susan.
Jim's in the car. Jim, on the Celtics.
Yeah, hey, I just want to weigh in on Marcus Smart. I think you guys are absolutely right about the edge, but I think the one thing everyone's missing is offense is desperately missed. And I'm not talking some shot selection or anything like that. I'm talking just being able to play Kyrie off the ball. You don't have that second ball handler at all right now. Rozier is dribbling out the clock, I feel like, every time on offense. Marcus is actually a common influence on that offensive end. And I think you'd see a lot less of these 12-0 runs, 28-2 runs, just because he's going to get guys in spots where they need to be. He is actually a very good point guard.
Jim, that's actually it's a good point, and it's such an indictment of Rozier, isn't it?
Oh, I think it is.
Oh, Scary Terry?
Yeah.
You mean Scary Terry?
Rozier, you know, the problem with him is he thinks he should be a number one option, but oftentimes he's in there with two or three better options, and he hogs the ball. And I hate to say it that way, but it just becomes a dribbling competition. And no offense gets run. And sometimes he has good nights, but he's just so inconsistent. So when you guys say you worry about Jaylen Brown's minutes getting cut into, I don't see it. I think Marcus is going to have a minutes restriction. I think it's guys like Rozier that are going to see the minutes cut into tonight, which
fine,
I'm not
fine by that.
Yeah, I think that's the way it's going to go too, Jim. I think that is the way that it's going to go. Coming up next, we are going to take more of your calls, but also, most importantly, we're giving away a gift card. We've got a gift card to give away. Actually, I'm sorry. It's actually an item itself, not a gift card.
What are we giving away?
I made a mistake. We've given away gift cards to this place in the past.
What is it?
We're giving away a prize. A prize.
Ooh.
From the Patriots Pro Shop.
Ooh.
You will get, this is actually a really good prize, a copy of Three Games to Glory.
Oh, my God. I watched it with my kid.
Along with four passes to the Patriots Hall at Patriot Place.
I tell you what, and they're not telling me to pump it up. It's the best one yet.
Is it? Can you buy it yet? Is it out?
May 8th, I think.
Oh, it's, so it. How about
this
that?
Week, yeah, this
so
drops this week.
It's dropping this week.
It's.
But coming up next, we're actually going to give away a copy, and we're giving away passes to the Patriots Hall of Fame.
It's almost like NFL Films did this. It's unreal. Which they did. I mean, they.
And they have involvement,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. They
yeah,
went
but the
down,
Patriots.
They spent time. They spent like a week down with NFL Films putting this together. It's unreal.
All right, yeah. So we're going to give away that awesome prize coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Right now, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. We'll score a copy of Three Games to Glory. That is Three Games to Glory 6. It's the sixth time they've done this. You'll also get four passes to the hall at Patriot Place, courtesy of the New England Patriots Pro Shop. The Pro Shop open 7 days a week or online at PatriotsProShop.com. Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Four passes and of course, Three Games to Glory, the sixth time they've produced the Three Games to Glory, which features every play of every playoff game, which is remarkable. They get it all in there.
Yep.
All of it's in there. Check it out. Patriots Pro Shop.
There's plays I forgot about. And, you know,
.com.
I'm pretty good at having a pretty good memory as far as flow of the game.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff that, you know, the recall and stuff that you miss. You're like, wow, okay, that was a great catch, or that was a great run, or that was a great tackle. You know, it's good. It's really good.
A lot of you in there, I assume?
It's actually more Bob. Yeah. They do a lot of the play-by-play stuff. So there's stuff in me, yeah, but it's not over the top. It's mostly Bob, which is good.
Because they got to move it along?
Yeah.
So it's
a lot of... Here's the situation. It's 3rd and 10. You know, it's, you know, the reset. Yeah.
Let's go to... I want to say it's Jim in Boston. Let's see if he's... Hold on.
Jimin?
Jim, you there?
Jimin!
Yep, I'm right here.
Hey, Jim.
I think the Bruins going to wrap it up tonight, and I think Krejci's going to have a breakout game tonight. And also, I'd like to wish Willie Mays a happy 88th birthday today. The Say Hey Kid.
All right, we can accept that. I will accept the shout-outs to actual famous sports figures.
You don't like Billy his neighbor?
Not to like Billy the neighbor. You know, Willie my neighbor. You want to say Willie Mays, okay. Now, okay, we'll take that.
Well, I like the fact that Scott got the neighbor greeting in there first, because I feel like the neighbor shouldn't be unfairly drawn into this. He got his mention. Everything else we didn't need.
You know what?
No offense, Scott.
The fact he brings up...
I would have let him go. You had a very quick trigger on Scott today. Very quick
Since
trigger.
Since when
Scott.
Did you get critical of a quick trigger finger? You, Hardy.
Yeah.
Of all people.
How was your weekend?
It's good.
Nice. What'd you do?
Please.
Golf?
Golf.
What?
Family time?
A little derby party?
We'll get to the derby. What's Sean seeing? Is he in tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Because
Normal Davis.
I had my it's funny, he mentions Willie Mays. I had one of my Dan Shaughnessy moments, the Mickey Mantle, when I was getting recruited by these agents in New York, took me to Mickey Mantle's restaurant, and Mickey Mantle was in there, sitting there. I met the Mick at Mickey Mantle's.
In New York?
That was pretty cool, yeah. Yep. It's pretty neat. Lawrence Taylor had his own booth. It's freaking crazy. The back when the New York heyday.
You met Mickey Mantle.
I met at Mickey Mantle's. At Mickey Mantle's.
I didn't even tell you guys where I was yesterday afternoon.
Where were you?
The Feast with 45, the Pedro thing at Fenway.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Weren't you supposed to go to that a couple years ago? I feel like you were.
Yeah, and then
they blow that thing out, don't they?
I don't feel like...
Blow it out.
Yeah, you're invited, and then I never really got the invite, and then I didn't feel right going.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, okay, we have to make a point of it next time around, because the Pedro's there. Veritech showed up. Like, oh, this is cool. Well,
Veritech showing up to eat? That's not a shock.
There's Tech. There's Pedro.
It's like a tick on a dog's neck right now.
But the food. Oh, my God. Like,
it's at Fenway, right? They do it in the club upstairs.
It's at Fenway. I'm, like, walking around. I'm like, okay, here's a little something.
Yeah.
There's Steve DiFilippo. Making some gnocchi, like right there, like
he himself was back there doing the cooking.
I'm like, Steve, he's like, Hardy, what's up? Yeah.
It's like best buddies. He does the same thing, best buddies.
He's doing the cooking.
Yeah.
Like two places down. I'm like,
getting his hands dirty, getting right in there.
Andy from the smoke shop. Hardy, how you doing? You want some ribs? I'm like, you're damn right I do.
Damn right I do.
Bopping and scatting around. Oh, my God.
Wow.
It was great.
And Pedro was there.
Did you take a plate home?
No. there's no takeout.
And again, get to the important part. Pedro was there.
Bet Pedro's there.
And it's for his charity.
Yes.
For all his work he does in the Dominican.
It's fantastic.
And he talks to everybody.
It's
works the room.
It's a problem.
That's good.
Because he's got all these commitments, and he will talk to anyone forever. And he's got so much stuff to do that day, and it's always a problem for the organizers.
Really?
Good for him. He spends
meet
so
and
much
greets and all kinds of stuff. They have the people that people paid for.
But that's what makes
well,
that event.
Well,
great.
Just like, you know, the media availability and stuff. You know, it's like he, you know, there's stuff
like Radio Row.
They need him to get to, and it's like you just can't stop him from talking. And if there's any kids there, forget it. Like my daughter and son were there a couple of years ago, and they don't, you know, they didn't see Pedro pitch. They don't even know. He doesn't care. He'll talk to him forever. It's just the guy loves everybody. Oh, it's good.
Well attended?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
It's nice.
Good.
Good food.
Makes me hungry now.
I know. Oh, my God.
I'm glad you had a nice weekend.
Because you don't go to play. You don't go to things like that thing. You're like, oh, I'm so hungry. I'm going to eat. But the feast with 45. Yes. You go hungry because it's awesome.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. How'd you like the refs over the weekend in the Celtics game, though?
That call on Jaylen Brown, embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing.
I think that was probably the worst one.
Yep.
That's the one that everyone's talking about.
I don't know why people are like going crazy about all the fouls on Giannis, because after you see them, like I got more of a problem with him taking four steps to the hoop. But that's the NBA. You don't understand. Walking, you know, Matt, LeBron does it. But every time you show the replay, you see the foul.
Not every time.
Really? I mean, most of the time, 80% of the time, Jim. So in real
time? There were a few that were just phantom calls.
All right, let's talk about the refs and the officiating in the game over the weekend and what we think the officiating will be in game four tonight for the Celtics and the Bucks. How's this going to go with the NBA after they clearly had a bad game in game three of this series? We'll talk about it in 90 seconds, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Matey. Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right-hand dribble. Jaylen Brown comes out to challenge. A minute gone in the fourth quarter. Milwaukee by eight. Bledsoe fumbles it near the sideline. Jaylen Brown reaches in, commits a foul, and a very late call. And that's really going to drive the fans crazy. So Jaylen Brown just picked up a fifth foul. They're going to need to see a replay on this. Mike Budenholzer was in the ear of the official. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my God.
Mike Budenholzer screamed at the official, and then about 5 seconds after what was perceived as contact, they call a fifth foul on Jaylen Brown, who has to come out of the game. That's a huge call.
I'm not going to comment on it. I think they shot a lot of free throws. It is what it is. You move on. We got to set the tone for the next game. We can be more solid, so I'm just focused on us. Obviously, that was something that's going to be talked about, but I'm not going to do too much of that talking. I'm going to be focused on us in the next game.
Officiating critique.
Blinded by the light. Excellent call. Wrapped up like a
douche, another room. Johnny Depp is so good. Goodbye, George. George. Goodbye. 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 Goodbye.
That was one of the worst calls, the worst call of the night.
We move more.
By the officials on the court Friday night in the Celtics-Bucks game three of their series. Bad night for the officials.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah, I agree. It's bad. It's terrible.
For the officials.
Terrible.
And
who's the guy with the slick back hair?
It benefited the Bucks. It did. I don't think there's any way around that. You watch that game, you see the way that it was officiated, the way that it was called. I don't know how you would say anything other than this benefited the Bucks.
But I thought Grandy missed it there, because you saw watching the game. You see the reaction. Okay, he goes to the side where Brown is. Budenholzer was starting to yell at the ref because that's his name, right? Budenholzer. Nice how Budenholzer. Started to scream at the refs. He got like up because he thought the call was on the Bucks. And then the second he saw it was on Brown, he put his hands in his pocket and walked away. He said, ooh. And then they show their bench in the background. They're looking up at the board. And they start giggling like, oh, my God, that's on Jaylen Brown. That was horrible. Absolutely horrible. And, yeah, they called a ton of fouls against Greek Freak. I get it. But that's what those imposing players get.
Like, not only is it just a ridiculous call to begin with, right? But it's a call that a coach just asked for and received, which is wild. Oh, where's the foul? Foul! Like, what is that?
The best is the ref's reaction after he called it. He called it and then did one of these, like, oh, and then he goes, like, put his hands up, like he didn't do anything wrong.
Did you see the hesitation?
He put his
though?
Hands up like a guy that committed a foul that says, Christ. I didn't commit a foul.
I mean, that was horrible. Absolutely horrible. So there's plenty to complain about how terrible the officiating was in the game. Is it why they lost?
No.
Did they lose because of the officiating?
No.
They didn't lose because of the officiating?
Absolutely not.
They missed
you're lucky Giannis didn't hit all his free throws.
The Celtics took a whole hell of a lot more bad shots than they had bad calls by the refs. I could tell you that. They missed a lot more shots than they had bad calls. I'm sorry. Yeah, the officiating sucked. Welcome to the NBA.
I couldn't stop laughing on the Semi Ojeleye drive where he took off from about the foul line. And it's just like your typical charge call. I don't know where he was going or what he thought he was doing. He just said, I'm going to run over the defender.
You know what's funny about that call,
though? I couldn't stop laughing at that call. Because, like, he got up like, what?
You have to have your feet completely outside of that circle, right, to get the charge call.
Yeah. His back of his heel was on the line.
Yeah, I don't know what the call is there. I think you have to have your feet completely out, right?
It was so egregious of a charge, though, you couldn't call anything but a charge.
But Giannis's feet are so big. I mean,
well, he was completely out of control offensively. If he had any control, then they would have called, I think, the block there. But and it was just like, okay.
If that was Giannis, that would have been called a block. Yeah. If that was Semi inside the circle, that would have been called a block.
Probably, and he probably would have dunked on him.
That's the NBA.
Yeah.
And that is how it's called in the NBA.
Yeah, I got pitched.
Kyrie needs to take more drives to the basket to get those calls.
Yes.
Kyrie got to the line. What do you have, 12 free throws in the game?
He had a lot.
12, right? I think he was 11 and 12.
The whole series has been at the line a lot.
Yeah,
so
Kyrie can get to the line. Kyrie drives, he will get calls.
Nice 3-point plays, too.
Listen, this is not new, everybody.
Continuation. Kyrie's good on a continuation.
It's not new. This is not new. This is the league. This is the association, everybody. Welcome to the playoffs. This is what you deal with. It's not new. Why do you think these ref stats matter? Why do you think we have to dive into this crap every year at this time? Why do you think those bankroll boys that you love so much,
I do.
Are there looking at the ref stats every game?
Very angry,
because that crap matters in this league.
Those suckers are lucky that game didn't end 3-1. It had 3-1 written all over it the other night, that Bruins game. Because that would have been 3 in a row for me, baby.
It can impact spreads. Sometimes it can go so far as to impact games. I'm hesitant to say the Celtics lost, though, because of the refs. And the ref that you're asking about, though, the guy who made that call, was Kane Fitzgerald.
Okay.
Had to look up the name. Kane Fitzgerald was the guy who made that call. Couldn't remember it. That's not one of the more, you know, commonly remembered names. But yeah. So Kane Fitzgerald there, this guy.
I couldn't believe it. Put my hands up. I didn't do anything bad.
And he kind of looks around, though, after he makes that call. What an embarrassment to the league that call was. That is so embarrassing. And to the Celtics' credit, Jaylen Brown didn't want to talk about it. You just heard it there.
Yep.
He said, you know, I'm not going to address it. I'm going to move on.
Jason Tatum, too. I'm keeping my money.
I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get ready for the next game. Because, you know what? Most guys know this is what we deal with. Brad Stevens won't go anywhere as near it, and people have been critical of Brad Stevens for it. They want Brad Stevens to pull the Budenholzer card, which is what he did after game one. He went to the podium after game one and bitched about the refs, and it looks like it's worked for him. He's gotten calls now for two games. And so I'm sort of torn on that one because just as a sports fan, I respect the guy who doesn't bitch about the officials and just takes care of his own business. I do as a sports fan. But as someone who watches the NBA, I know how things operate in that league. And part of me wants to say, Brad, I know that you are someone that just worries about yourself and you conduct your business the right way. But unfortunately, this league forces you to conduct your business in a way that is going to make everybody a little uncomfortable, yourself included, which means you got to go to the podium and you have to complain about the refs because this league requires you to do that. It's stupid. It's cheap, but you got to do it. You got to do it for the sake of your team. It's obnoxious, but you got to do it. It's part of the gig. It's part of being a head coach in this league. Riding the refs. Why they make you do it, I don't know, but it works. Budenholzer already did it. He did it after game one. So does Brad Stevens have to pull that card? Maybe he does. I don't think we're going to see it, though. He was very hesitant to do it. The closest thing we got to anybody wanting to rip the refs on the Celtics side of things was Kyrie, and I give Kyrie credit. He didn't really rip them either. He called it for what it was, which was ridiculous, but I don't think he went too far. Here's Kyrie.
Guy comes down almost six times in a row, gets free throws. You know, what are you really going to do? It's slowing the game down. So the run that you would hope to make in that in a quarter like that doesn't happen. I mean, he shot 22 on the game. I mean, it's getting ridiculous at this point. You know, it's just slowing the game down. So the refs have a difficult job. We have a difficult job. Obviously, I could sit up here and can complain. We know the disparity and what it is. But I'm not going to put all the emphasis on the refereeing. I think that there are a lot of controllable things on our end that we can be better at.
Okay, disparity to me is nonsense. Always is. I never understood why it's okay to complain about a disparity between free throws. There's not supposed to be an even amount of free throws between teams at the end of the game. However, if you were watching...
Well, that's what they strive for.
Well, I'll tell you what. At the end of this game, in garbage time...
Seems like it.
In the fourth quarter of this game, the refs knew how bad this looked. Did you notice? All of a sudden, the Celtics started getting all these calls. They were trying to even it up at the end of the game to make the stat sheet
bounce,
make the story of this game look different than what it actually was. Did you notice that?
That's
embarrassing for the league,
yes,
too.
And that's where Tommy would usually at the end of the game, look at the amount of foul shot. They got 30 more. Well, not really. It bounced out. Tommy couldn't bitch because of the stat line. That's what they did. They tried to cover their ass. You're right. You're completely right.
Anybody with a brain, though, can tell what they were doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you stuck with the game and you watched it all the way through to the end, you could see what was happening. They started making calls. They started giving the Celtics calls at the end of the game when the game was already decided. It was decided in the third quarter again in this series. Third quarter, very important. And what does that do for anybody? Doesn't make the game better. Yeah, it slowed the game down more. And all it was a way for them to try and even it up. That's all they were trying to do, was make it look better on the stat sheet at the end of the night to try and fight back against any allegations of them being terrible, which is exactly what they were. That crew was terrible. So the next question would naturally be, do we get a makeup crew tonight? Do we get a makeup? Do the Celtics get a makeup at home tonight at TD Garden?
I don't think so.
Does it come right back their way? Does Giannis get frustrated tonight not getting the calls going his way?
You know, first period.
What's better for the league?
Extend the series.
Much better for the league if the Celtics win tonight.
Yes.
And this series is evened up. You might get a makeup tonight. You might get things going back your way tonight from an officiating standpoint. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to calls. One more item, though, on that evening out of the free throws.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be even. In fact, it wasn't very even for the Celtics all year long. I want to touch on that. We'll do it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right-hand dribble. Jaylen Brown comes out to challenge. A minute gone in the fourth quarter. Milwaukee by 8. Bledsoe fumbles it near the sideline. Jaylen Brown reaches in, commits a foul, and a very late call. And that's really going to drive the fans crazy. So Jaylen Brown just picked up a fifth foul. We're going to need to see a replay on this. Mike Budenholzer was in the ear of the official. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
my God.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.